Thank you, darling.
Mm-hmm. You don't think the milk's funny?
Hmm? Yeah, smells all right to me. Hang on. No, perfectly all right. You know, the nose of my wife, Mrs. Potter, is so remarkable and terrific. Such a king among conks that I think she ought to leave it to medical research when she snuffs it. Snuffs it. I mean, any teaching hospital would give their ears for it. I can see it now, served up on a platter, tastefully surrounded by medical students. Gentlemen, says the top-nose instructor, you see before you the remarkable and terrific organ of Miss Magnolia Badminton, the famed romantic novelist, sometimes known as Mrs. Gerald C. Potter, but not often enough. It doesn't look much without the face, gentlemen, but we have the word of her husband, a gifted writer of whodunits, who never received their just acclaim, that this hooter, during its lifetime, could smell a wet dog at 1,000 paces and a dry martini in the next door house.
Darling.
Not that you could smell one at old Giebel's.
Gerald, you're staring.
Hmm? Yeah. I'm sorry, darling, I was just thinking.
Thinking and staring, then. Pour the coffee.
Right. Never seen a martini old next door Giebel.
Me first.
Hmm?
With the coffee.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. Let alone smelt one. Remember when they had the drains up across the road all that summer and we asked him to join us complaining about the smell and he said, what smell? And when we told him to have a real sniff, he admitted to a faint odour of cooking apples. Diana?
Are you saying anything?
No, not really. I was only...
If so, look me in the eye.
I'll bet he's a cocoa man, old Giebel. Fights it, I expect. Paid-up member of Cocoholics Anonymous.
You're looking me in the nose.
Then the fit comes on him and he gets through a 2-pound tin before breakfast.
He doesn't stare at his wife's nose before breakfast.
Could have done before she snuffed it. We just don't know about these things.
You've poured your coffee in the milk.
Oh, damn.
What's wrong with it?
It's just gone brown.
My nose. I can't see anything wrong.
Look, Diana, don't squint down at you. Stay like that. I should feel like I was married to Ben Conklin.
Who?
Marty Feldman, then. There is nothing wrong with it. It is the perfect conch. Finely chiseled.
Thank you.
Short, straight. Except the little bit at the end. You don't talk through it. It hardly ever runs. No, truly, when it comes to noses, I have never rubbed a nicer. Oh, well, yours is nice, too. Not at all. Here, have some brown milk.
She won't touch it.
Yes, she will.
Not brown, she won't.
They do not have colour vision. They see everything in mouse. If I told her she was black and white, she wouldn't know what I was talking about.
And not alone in that. This conversation...
Go on, get drinking. That's better. Yeah, I'll tell you something about this conversation.
I'd be interested. Open the door, she wants to go out.
Oh, she's only just come in.
That's cats.
I beg your pardon?
They're bats, cats.
Oh, all right, then. Shove off and drink a nice dirty puddle. And goodbye to you. The thing about this conversation, is that what you were going to say?
I don't know yet.
If we put it into a book, who'd believe it?
Who'd read it?
Right, exactly. Yet what could be more real, more natural, more true to life?
Not a thing. Oh, yes. All over the world at this moment, couples of our happily married readers are talking about drains and cocoa and cooking apples and noses and cats' colour vision. It's happening everywhere.
No, I wouldn't say everywhere. I mean, not in California, I wouldn't say.
You wouldn't?
Well, they're asleep. It's only 3 in the morning with them.
Lucky them. I wish it was with us. Then we should be.
Well, we weren't this morning at 3.
No, indeed. And whose fault was that?
What? Well, now, don't try and say it was mine, Diana. Really, just because I came down for some toast, because I've been lying awake worrying about chapter 2 of Who Killed Caroline.
Good title.
Do you think so?
Very good.
You really think so?
Really.
I mean, you're not just saying that.
I mean it.
Oh, good. Yeah, thank you, darling.
Not at all.
I mean, as long as you're not just trying to change the subject.
Darling, as if I would. Besides, what from?
What? Oh, yes. Yes, well, that's what I'm just saying. How was I to know you'd come belting down in your pyjamas with your nose sticking out, yelling that the house was on fire?
No, I didn't.
How can you say that?
Not yelling. I simply said I'd been woken by a smell of burning, which was perfectly true.
Well, only burning toast.
As it happened, yes.
There is no need to yell, darling.
And gas. I smelt gas.
I wasn't using any gas. I was toaster-toasting. Electricity.
I know. That's why it was funny smelling gas.
I certainly was. Electricity, you might have smelt. Gas, no. You can't tell me, even with your nose, that you woke up and smelt gas and burning.
No, I smelt gas and burning and woke up.
Yeah, darling, we have both got work to do. Don't let's get into this one. I mean, we've had it before about whether it's possible to dream smells.
Look, what I'd like you to do, darling, when you've taken this lot into the kitchen, not standing in the cat saucer...
By all means, when I have taken the tray, yes...
Not!
Sorry?
I said not standing in it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Aren't those the slippers that let in water?
Ah, just milk at the moment. You were saying... How the hell did you get back built up?
Oh, you needn't take it out on her. Look, what I'd like is when you get to the kitchen... Gerald, are you listening?
Could you murder someone with milk?
I could murder someone with milky slippers.
I haven't got a cause of death yet, and who killed Caroline? I mean, if you got the milk direct from a sick cow, you know, with something like swine fever... Well, not swine fever, I suppose.
Gerald!
Unless it was pig's milk.
When you get to the kitchen, you know the kitchen... through the dining room and turn left by the grandfather clock. When you get there, pull the cooker away from the wall. It's got little wheels underneath.
You'd need a detective with a terrific nose on him so that he could smell the difference.
Ah, there he is now.
What? Yeah, well, who is?
The gas man.
Really, Diana, I do sometimes wonder...
Look, hide the coffee. He'll think we've made it for him. Let him in first, then move the cooker. Tell him that's where you think the leak is. All right, he'll want to get down there and sniff. And don't let him strike any matches. I can't see to him because I'm not up yet and I've got a chapter to finish after that. Just let me get into the bathroom first. Oh, belt up, can't you?
I don't know. I just do not know. Yes, yes, yes. I heard you the first time. Oh, really? Shall be a moment. There we are. Good morning.
Lady rung in.
There's no lady rung here.
Lady rung the gas.
Really? She sounds a bit Welsh. Are you sure you've got the right address?
16.
And this is one of them?
It's it. On the gate.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, 16. Yes, I see. Are we? Yeah, on the gate, of course. Yes, quite right.
Shuttlecock.
I beg your pardon?
No, I'm a shuttlecock.
No, I can't agree there.
Oh, yeah. Wrote it down off the radio. Yeah, off them over. I've got it here somewhere.
What radio was that?
A van radio. Common a radio van, see? Down the drive there. Get motor Foxtrot. Get motor Foxtrot. Yeah, like that, see? Yeah, here we are. Look here. Message timed 0909. Name of the... Oh, sorry, Governor. Not shuttlecock.
I know what you're going to say now.
Battledore.
Yes, I thought you were. No, badminton.
Badminton, right. I meant badminton.
Yeah, she sometimes does that on the telephone. Well, you better come in.
Just check. She's the lady of the house, Mrs. Badminton.
Miss.
So you're not Mr.?
I am Mr. Potter.
I see.
G.C., actually.
Come again?
G.C. Gerald C. Potter.
Oh. So that's you, is it?
Yeah. You're a reader.
Used to be. Not anymore.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
My sight went, see? Figures on the meters went too small, know what I mean? Put me on emergencies.
Did they, indeed?
You'd never credit where they keep the meters, some of them. Cupboards under the stairs can't shine your torch for overcoats. Back end of the garage and the car not out. Garden implements dangling.
Yes, well, come on in, can't you? First, right past the grandfather. You go ahead.
I had a reader last week squeezing by a cortina, come down the edge and shears off a nail, nearly had his ear off. 14 stitches, bled like a pig.
This is not what I wish to be doing at this time. Can't even use it as a cause of death. Yeah, all right, are we? Any questions?
Are you natural?
I think so, most of the time. It's hard to be sure.
It'll be all the time or none, won't it?
Will it?
Oh, yeah. You're either natural, what we call North Sea, or the old-fashioned coal from the gasworks.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I thought for a minute you had to report to the government.
Yeah, it's working out the spanners, isn't it?
Yeah, well, of course, absolutely, yes. Anything else?
You're off now, are you?
Well, I'd like to be, but I'll stay if you want me.
I thought you was escaping.
Well, if that's all right. I mean, I've plenty to do.
Escaping gas? Well, it said on the radio. If so, you'll want to be off.
Well, I do, rather, yes.
Off at the mains. The meter.
Oh, the mains. I'm sorry. Right, yes, I beg your pardon. You know, you must think I'm a bit of an idiot.
It takes all sorts.
Thank you.
It'll be under the stairs, will it, the meter?
It's back into the garage, actually. Come out of the side door. I'll get the car out. Very good latches, these, you know. Burglar-proof. A bit complicated, actually.
Oh, blast!
Yeah. Oh, there we are. After you.
Talk.
You're not answering?
Was you asking? Sorry, Gus.
No, the van. The radio.
All day. Goes on all day, does that? Keep answering that, never get a minute's peace. They're mostly false alarms. Get up your nose, they do. Had two already this morning. Last too short, I always say.
What didn't get up his nose, but no surprise to me, I may say, was the smell of gas, because obviously it had only got at Diana's. Not that I could say so, of course. You have to stick together in a marriage. Tempting, I mean, to tell him I knew it was a false alarm all the time, that I hadn't smelt anything anyway. Just happened to be married to a nose with hallucinations, but you cannot do that. Besides, she could have come out of the bathroom and caught me at it. No, I went right the other way, actually. Told him a string of lies. Woke me up in the night, I told him. Came downstairs, kitchen full of the stuff. Opened the windows, waved the towels. Felt terrible. Well, I did feel terrible telling him all this. I told him much too much in the end. I think it is one of my few literary faults, overwriting. And when I got to the bit about thinking the cat was dead and nearly rang Dr. Giddy next door to ask if Mrs. Giddy's budgie had fainted, as in coal mines, he said he'd have to take my word for it and cut us off under the regulations. Frankly, I was rather disappointed at the way Diana took this when I told her. You look for a little appreciation when you've lied to save a woman's fair name like that. Let alone she'd had the last hot bath in the system before the central heating was axed, the radiators off, and a pizza for lunch that was so cold it splintered under the knife.
There's only one word. Twittish.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
I'm saying it.
Look, he had to do it under the regulations.
Who's talking about him?
You're not calling me twittish.
Pass the mustard, twit.
Sorry.
We need all the warmth we can get, if you ask me.
Look, all I ask of you is to be reasonable.
Oh, look who's asking. Chutney, please.
Just a minute. I am trying to get through this. Look out! Oh. I was perfectly reasonable. So was he. When you smell gas, they cut you off.
Did you smell gas?
Well, I didn't know, but...
Chutney, please. Did he smell gas?
No, he didn't.
Chutney?
Well, he may have smelt chutney.
Oh, my joke's already.
Not at all. He could have. Perhaps that's what he meant.
Meant when?
When I asked him if he could smell anything, he made an insulting reply. Not gas, he replied. Insultingly, as I thought at the time, but we were quite near the larder. Anyway, who knows what a man thinks he smells if old next-door Giebel can't tell drains from apples.
He didn't smell gas, that's the point.
He said he didn't.
You're saying he was a liar.
No, I am not. Just one moment. Are you on his side all of a sudden?
You're spraying crumbs.
He was a simple, honest gas man.
You're spraying me.
Acting according to his lights.
So he cut us off.
Right.
And now we haven't got any lights.
Ah, yes. We're going to miss the soft yellow glow of the gasoliers and their pretty shades with hanging bubbles. The clop, clop, clop of the hansoms in the street outside.
Pilot lights. One cooker, four rings, one grill, two fires, one central heating.
Ah-ha! Who needs a pilot light if everything's off?
It shouldn't be off. That's the whole point. And all on your twitchy say-so, you twit.
I cannot do any more with this pizza. It is like a frozen rockery. What's for afters?
Frozen rhubarb.
Oh, very nice.
Iced coffee to follow.
Delicious.
Finishing off with lovely cold washing up fool.
I've never heard of that. Gooseberry fool, yes. Raspberry fool.
That's what you're getting, you fool. A raspberry. Give me a plate.
I don't see why.
You're finished.
More than, thank you very much. What I am saying is, I do not see why you should say it was my say-so. You smelled it. It was your say-so.
I hope you didn't say so.
Oh, of course, my darling. My wife, I said to him, smelled gas. Thought she smelled gas. I can't smell it, I said. You can't smell it, I said. But who are we, I said, against Mrs. Shuttlecock the nose, who works part-time for the police when the dogs have given up sniffing out bomb and drug whores over a 40-mile radius. I'll answer that.
Oh, no. You stay here and finish your sentence while it's still hot. I'll go.
Thank you. I said to him, I said, it's only your nose against hers, I said. Not that I'd care to see that, I have to admit.
Who? Oh, yes. Oh, that's very kind of you to let us know.
That phone call, by the way... and I just mention it to show there's no lack of courtesy in the nationalised industries, was a girl from the Gas Board, saying with reference to our reported leak, she was sorry they hadn't been able to send a man yet. They'd been all morning trying to get through to the radio van, and they'd keep trying. I suppose it was typical of the uncooperative consumer that Diana didn't tell them he'd already been and gone. Either that, or she was getting back at him for cutting us off. Perhaps she didn't care to admit that she hadn't smelt gas at all, and a qualified gas man hadn't either, let alone a qualified husband. Who can tell the workings of the female mind? But most likely, I think, was the way the gas girl rushed straight on with the gypsy's warning about the terrible danger if we didn't cut off at the mains. A non-female mind, of course, would have told her we were off already, and shivering. Not Mrs. P., however. How do we do that, she says. It's a bit technical, says the girl. It's a handle on the meter, sticking out your on, sticking up your off. Right, says Mrs. P. I'll see to that right away. Please do, says Miss Gasboard. Otherwise you attract such headlines as Two Die in Mystery Blast, and Your Grand Piano in the Next Street. I was down the garden in my Canadian spruce writing hut or literary den during all this. I couldn't leave Caroline's corpse lying around at the end of Chapter One all this time. Not hygienic. So the conversation was reported to me on the house phone I have foolishly got installed out there.
And the grand piano in the next street, she said.
Yes, darling, I see. And those were her exact words?
Certainly. Does it matter?
She actually gave you the headline, Two Die in Mystery Blast?
I expect they keep press cuttings. She'd just look up under D for disaster.
How does she know about the piano?
Oh, never mind. What's that tapping? Are you listening?
Just a moment, yes, I'll listen. I think it's woodpeckers. I'll shoo them off.
You're typing.
Shoo, 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 shoo. Clear off and type somewhere else.
Gerald?
Yes, my little sweetheart.
You needn't start that. It's all very well for you with a fully electrified, smoke-filled shed to work in out there. What's that?
They weren't thinking. They flew back for something. You were saying, my love?
I was saying that all I've got in here to write by is centrally frozen radiators and three pairs of knickers.
Well, I could squeeze you in here, and you could take them off.
I don't want squeezing anywhere. Besides, I've put them on now.
Well, you tell me. Don't keep telling me.
The radiators, the gas. I've put them back on. How about some hot soup? Gerald?
She's gone potty.
I can't hear. Asparagus or celery?
Back on. Back on, you daft loony. You haven't struck a match.
Several. Why not?
What, with a leak in the house?
What leak?
What leak? You stand there saying what leak in three pairs of knickers.
Not now it's warmer.
The leak, woman. The
leak.
I've
taken them off.
Your leak, for God's sake.
Anyway, two pairs.
Look, how could you do a thing like that? How could you? I simply do...
Well, it was a bit technical. I did it, though. You know there's a handle on the meter. When it sticks out, you're off. So what do you do to be on?
Stick it up.
There you are, you see. You can do it. You didn't, though, did you? Oh, no, not you. You just slunk off down there in the warm.
Not slunk.
Slunk, you skunk.
There was no question of skunking. I merely...
Leaving me out in the cold. In the cold. Shall I ever learn, I wonder?
Diana!
Shut up. I ought to know by now. I ought to know by now. Any bit of initiative or common sense wanted around this place, it's me that makes the soup. Don't hang up. Who got the umbrella for the tortoise?
Yes.
Under the fridge. You just stood there while I hooked it out. What about Mrs. Finney's hiccups that time?
Diana,
she could have choked to death waiting for you to give her a fright and loosen her clothing.
How do they do it, leaving you on the losing end of an argument like that? It's like a conjuring trick. You know you're being diddled, but you can't see how. They get you on a stage to help with the act, and the next thing you know, they've removed your braces. It was a bad day for me, production-wise. Only wrote a couple of words. Chapter Two. The odd thing is, but I've noticed this before after losing an argument, Diana went right the other way. Rattled off about 40 pages of utterly impeccable mush, judging by the happy smile she retired with. She was snoring before I'd got a sock off. Well, it isn't so much a snore, more a purr. Rather nice, really. I often think the cat's in the next bed. Potter, on the other hand, and in the other bed, was still awake at 3 a.m. and feeling like toast. Like eating some, that is, not as warm as. Actually, I was as warm as, being British summertime, and a keen nor'easter from roughly the direction of Vladivostok and old next-door Giebel's patio, the heating was still on. Naturally, I'd thought of cutting it off after she'd cut it back on, but I didn't want to have any more trouble. Which would you rather have, after all? Bad feeling in the home, or arriving in the next street with a piano round your neck?
I did just wonder, before going downstairs, whether to give her a shake and mention that if she smelt the house on fire it was only toast. But she looked so peaceful, it wouldn't have been kind. Let alone she could have started smelling gas again as well. So I slunk down, went down, and that was when there was worse to come. Yes, indeed. The moment I opened the kitchen door, I smelt gas. You will see, I think, that this boded no easy situation for the morrow. It was going to call for diplomacy of a high order.
Oh, who's that?
You will never guess.
Good morning, my darling. Lovely morning. It's your tea boy, Potter. 90 quid a week I get for this, and everybody out if I'm asked to sweep up.
Throw open wide your window, dear.
What did you knock for?
The spring, the glorious spring is here.
What? Oh, I am sorry, darling. I didn't want to wake you.
I don't follow that.
Milk, sugar, tea, a little music.
What is all this?
Radio 3.
Good morning, darling.
Good morning.
What's the time?
It's 9 o'clock.
She's talking to me, thank you.
Oh, he was going to play me some music.
I just don't like this affair you two are running. Here, have my pillows, darling.
Darling, what is all this? You only bring tea on February the 1st.
Anyway, he wouldn't have played you anything until... Do you mind if I sit here on your leg?
Thank you. Until he told you the first violins echo the main theme by descending in a chromatic version of the diatonic line.
You don't know that.
Like a bet.
Finding an uneasy repose in the development section.
See what I mean? Why partridge shooting?
Go on.
February the 1st, partridge shooting begins.
And?
And pheasant shooting, right?
You'd have to ask a pheasant. I was thinking of something else. Long, peculiar marriages of the same date. If you can cast your mind back over the years to that little white register office on the hill. But you needn't bother now. Just let me know what you've been up to that calls for peace offerings of morning tea and knocking and not on our wedding day. No, don't trouble to get up. It'll be another good 5 minutes before that leg's totally paralysed, and even then there's another one. Gerald?
Ah, well, there it is, Diana. You've got me. Oh, what a tangled web we weave. Old Giebel's not up yet. All his windows tied shut. Must be a terrible smell of cocoa in there.
He's gone to Orpington. Hmm? Don't ask me how I know. Just accept it. What have you got to tell me? You'd better tell me. There's something you want to tell me.
Well, there is. I was coming round to it. It isn't easy. Are you ready?
I think I know.
You do?
It's obvious. I've written this scene often enough. You're going to have a baby.
Oh, shut up.
You didn't think I'd want it. It's all right, I don't mind. As long as I'm the father.
Not very funny.
The way you went at the pizza. I knew you were eating for two.
Diana!
And then this terrible craving for toast in the middle of the night.
Diana, I smelt gas. Oh, for heaven's sake.
Oh, dear. My. Oh, yes, that's better.
Good. I'm glad you think so. The moment I opened the kitchen door, I smelt gas. Oh. Look, will you be serious, Diana?
Yes. Sorry. You're quite right.
Good.
I'd like us to call it Charlene. Unless it's a boy.
Okay, okay. If you want the back of the house blown off.
I rather like Jason for a boy.
Oh, bloody K! Oh, get out, you.
Oh, well. What? Just a minute! Just a minute! Hey, what did you say? You what? Gerald!
What I didn't tell her, not that she'd have listened, being so extremely whimsical at the time, well, several things, really. One, that I rang the gas in the small hours and put the smell on their answering machine. Two, it told me to cut it off, and I did. Three, I put it on again to make the tea. Four, when I did that, I couldn't smell anything, so I left it. And five, I knew damn well I'd smelt it. Cubic feet of the stuff. Actually, I did tell her that later, and she said rubbish, and went sniffing around the place like a bloodhound, and said if her nose couldn't pick up the scent, it was a sure thing mine hadn't.
On the other hand, when I wanted a bath before returning to the corpse of Caroline, which now hadn't moved a muscle for 2 days, I found she'd cut us off again. Well, what can you do with them, I ask you? So there was nothing now but to wait down the garden in my Canadian spruce retreat until she rang through to say the gasmen had arrived.
His face horribly distorted. The chief inspector... Ah, Lady Rung, no doubt. Branksome Chine Cement Company.
It's not funny. They're digging out the driveway. 5 gasmen and 2 vans.
Well, they're the experts. We shall have to just let them.
Not ours, Giebel's. He's going to come back from Orpington and fall into a trench. I've spoken to them through the hedge. They said they had a leak reported and they've come and found it. They said they wondered we hadn't smelt it, the wind being in the east, until it veered westerly this morning, with sunny periods and showery activity on high ground. Ruptured pipes, they said he had. Poor old Giebel. Are you there, Gerald? They had a van saying Foxtrot, Foxtrot on its wireless, so I couldn't hear very well. But what I don't understand is who reported it, because he couldn't have smelt it in Orpington. Gerald?
Yes. Well, I expect they got the wrong address.
It was the right address, you fool. That's just...
Well, it could have been the wrong one, but it turned out to be the right one.
I think that's terribly dangerous. I mean, think if it had been us reporting a leak and they went next door. We could have been in the headlines. 2 die in mystery blast. And where should we be then? In the next street. With the piano.